Please turn with me now in your Bible to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. We've been working our way together through the book of Galatians this morning. We want to consider together how to be a better person. Again, our text this morning is from the New Testament. It's from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Beginning with verse 1, that's page 1239 in your pew Bible. Let's hear God's word together. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he's obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You've fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do now ask for your gracious, your good and gracious spirit to kindly and gently convict us and teach us and lead us. Show us the things we need to see and lead us once again by the hand to Jesus. Spirit of God, we ask that you might lead us to Jesus and bless us. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you do it? How can you be a better person? Believe it or not, the U.S. government recently came out with a list of some of the top New Year's resolutions. These are some of the most popular things that people resolve to do or do better in the new year. So listen to this. Lose weight. Volunteer, I guess like in the community, volunteer to help people. Quit smoking. Improve your education. Get a better job. Save money. Get in shape. Eat healthy. Handle your stress. Deal with your debt. Go on a trip. Recycle, you know, reduce your carbon footprint or whatever. Drink less alcohol. Okay? According to the government, these are some of the most popular things that people resolve to do or do better in the new year. According to this list, how are you doing? Eating healthy? Exercising? Okay, getting in shape? Losing weight? Saving money? What's today? Today's like the 11th. 11 days. 11 days in the new year. Most of us have broken most of these. Okay. Nothing wrong with the New Year's resolution. Nothing wrong with resolving to do better. But there's a big difference between resolving to do better and actually doing it. There's a huge difference between making a resolution and keeping it. So how do you do it? How do you become a better person? Two things we want to see together this morning. First of all, Jesus Christ has set us free. Okay? Look with me at our text this morning, if you will. Beginning with verse 1, Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. That means if you're trusting in Jesus for your relationship with God, you have been set free from man-made rules and traditions. Okay. Nothing wrong with traditions. Okay? Traditions can be great. But we've seen over the last few weeks that people are always coming up with new rules and new traditions that are supposed to make us better. They're supposed to make us better people and supposed to make other people better people. And what happens is we become enslaved to these rules. You feel like you have to do them. And if you don't, you feel guilty. If you don't, you feel like you don't measure up. If you don't, you don't feel like you're good enough. The Jewish scribes, the rabbis, had all kinds of man-made rules and traditions that were supposed to make the Jewish people better. But we do the same thing today. Sometimes other people do it to you. They lay all kind of rules on you. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. You know, I've said before that there was a generation of housewives in our country who felt like they had to iron everything in the house, right? Grandmom would iron the tablecloth, and she'd iron the cloth napkins, and she'd iron the sheets before they go in the bed. She'd iron Grandpa's handkerchief. She'd iron Grandpa's pajamas. She'd iron his underwear. I mean, there was a whole generation for whom they thought that's what it meant to be a good wife and a mom. If the house is always clean, the silver's always polished, every meal has got to be a feast, and everything in the house that can be ironed has to be ironed. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But one or two generations later, there are a lot of women who feel guilty because they can't do all those things. Maybe you got another job or two jobs or you have more kids or whatever. And a lot of women feel guilty because you just can't do all the things grandmom used to do. And it becomes a burden, and it becomes like slavery. Paul says, listen, if Jesus is the basis of your relationship with God, you've been set free from man-made rules and traditions. I mean, you can follow traditions if you want to, but if you don't, you don't have to feel guilty. If you don't or if you can't, you shouldn't feel like you don't measure up or you're not good enough. If Jesus is the basis of your relationship with God, you've been set free from man-made rules, man-made traditions, and from Old Testament ceremonies and sacrifices. Okay? In the Old Testament, there were all sorts of ceremonies and sacrifices that were required by the Jewish people. These weren't just traditions. Okay? These were sacrifices commanded by God that had a divine purpose. For example, if you committed a particular sin, you would have to sacrifice a certain kind of animal. That wasn't just a tradition. That was something God commanded, and it had a divine purpose. One purpose was to teach us the seriousness of sin. You want to be forgiven? Okay. You want to be right with God? Something has to be done about that sin. You know, the penalty of sin is death. So if you want to be forgiven, you want to be all right, you're on good terms with God, somebody or something has to die. That was one of the purposes of the sacrificial system, is to teach us the seriousness of sin and how much we need Jesus. And so the Jewish people had all kinds of elaborate ceremonies and sacrifices to teach them how serious sin is and to show them how much they need Jesus. But now Jesus has come. And he gave his life on the cross as a sacrifice. The Bible calls Jesus the perfect Lamb of God. And he offered himself on the cross as a sacrifice to pay for our guilt and our sin. He poured his blood out on the cross so that our sin and guilt would be paid for. And so now we're set free from all those Old Testament ceremonies and sacrifices. We don't have to do those things if Jesus has become the basis for your relationship with God. If you're trusting in Jesus, you've been set free from man-made rules, you've been set free from Old Testament sacrifices and ceremony, but you've also been set free from guilt and sin. Okay? Whether you're a Christian or not, we still have to follow the Ten Commandments. Okay? Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Don't covet. Don't take God's name in vain. The Ten Commandments tell us how God wants us to live. Okay? The Ten Commandments tell us what it means to love God and what it means to love other people. The Ten Commandments tell us what love is supposed to look like. So whether you're a Christian or not, you still have to follow the Ten Commandments. What we've seen over the last few weeks is that, you know, we all sin. We all disobey God sometimes. Maybe you never killed anybody, but let's be honest, there have been times when you kind of wanted to. Right? Jesus says, well, you're breaking the commandment. Maybe you've never committed adultery, but you've looked at somebody lustfully. You've almost certainly taken God's name in vain at some point. We've all broken the Ten Commandments, We can't undo that. And so you're stuck. And then it feels like God is distant and impersonal. And you feel guilty. And that becomes bondage. Well, if Jesus is the basis of your relationship with God, then you've been set free from that. You still need to obey the Ten Commandments because you love the Lord. You want to love the Lord and love other people. But you've been set free from the sin and the guilt. If Jesus is the basis of your relationship with God, you've been set free from man-made rules. You've been set free from Old Testament ceremony and sacrifices. But you've also been set free from sin and guilt. But let's take it a step further. God wants you to experience that freedom. He wants you to enjoy that freedom. He wants you to know that you've been set free, and he wants you to feel it. Look again at our text. Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set you free. He's writing to Christians. They've already been set free. But God wants you to know that, and he wants you to experience it, and he wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to feel free. He doesn't just want you to be free. He wants you to know that you're free. He wants you to live free. He wants you to experience and enjoy and feel that freedom in your Christian life. He says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. The word there, it's a military term. Stand your ground. Okay? Christ has accomplished this liberty, this freedom for you. Don't give it up. Don't surrender your freedom. God wants you to enjoy this freedom, to experience it, to live it, to feel it, and to protect it and preserve it. Because even a Christian can fall back into living like your relationship with God is just based on rules. Even a Christian can fall back into legalism. Even a Christian can fall back into feeling guilty all the time. Even a Christian can fall back into feeling like God is distant and impersonal. And so Paul says, stand firm. And don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Don't fall back into living as if your relationship with God is based on being good and keeping rules. Either Jesus is the basis of your relationship with God, or something else is. But you can't have it both ways. Okay? Paul says, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. Well, here Paul seems to be speaking to the Gentile Christians, the ones that weren't Jewish. Okay, the ones who came from what we would call a pagan background. Pagan religions at the time encouraged immorality and drunkenness and debauchery. That was part of their rituals. That was part of their festivities and their feast. And some of these people who came from those backgrounds, they came to know Jesus. They had a very immoral lifestyle, but they came to find Jesus to be the basis of their relationship with God. They discovered that they could have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so some of these people from pagan or Gentile backgrounds became Christians. But in the process, they got to know other people in the church who were Jewish Christians. And the Jewish Christians were very different. The Jewish Christians didn't have the same kind of background. The Jewish Christians didn't have the same kind of baggage. The Jewish Christian families tended to be more structured, more moral, more orderly. And that was very attractive to some of these people who came from very different backgrounds. So some of the Gentile Christians began to think, maybe I should go all the way. I've come to know Jesus, but maybe that's not enough. Maybe I should become Jewish too. Maybe I should become circumcised. And Paul says, wait a minute. Either Jesus is the basis of your relationship with God, or something else is. But you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. He says, if you accept circumcision, if you're going to go and get circumcised, like that's going to make you better, well then, now you've been separated from Christ. Christ is of no use to you. Either your relationship with God is something that you earn by being good and doing the right things and keeping the rules, or your relationship with God is a free gift of God's grace. Those are the only two choices. Either I earn my relationship with God by being a good person and doing my best and staying out of trouble and working, or I receive a relationship with God as a free gift of God's grace. But it can't be both ways. If I'm trying to pay for it and earn it, it's no longer free. So Paul says you can't have it both ways. Verse 4, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you've fallen away from grace. Paul's making a play on words here. Okay, circumcision was a Jewish procedure performed on males, Jewish males, usually when they're very, very young. It was the removal of a small piece of flesh. And it was symbolic. It was ceremonial. It represented God's promise that when you trust in Jesus, God will cut off or remove your guilt. Circumcision was a removal of a little piece of flesh, and it represented God's promise. When you trust in Jesus, God will remove your sin. He'll remove your guilt. He'll make you clean. Okay? It was a symbol or a sign of God's promise. But now you've got these Gentile Christians. They've trusted in Jesus. Their sin and their guilt's already been removed. But they're thinking, maybe if I get circumcised, that'll make me better. And Paul says, man, you do that, what are you, you're separating yourself from God. You're cutting yourself off from Christ. Okay? Either your relationship with God is something that you've earned by being good, keeping the rules, being a little bit better than the people that you know, or else your relationship with God is a free gift of God's grace. But you can't have it both ways. Put it another way. Becoming a better person, okay? Righteousness, okay? Learning to and adapting a new lifestyle. It's not something you achieve by trying harder. Okay? Righteousness is something we achieve by faith. Look with me at verse 5. Paul says, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Now, in the Bible, righteousness is a right standing before God. Okay? If you're righteous, that means God looks on you and he's pleased. You're in a good relationship with God. You have a right standing with God. Righteousness is a right standing before God. But sometimes in the Bible, the word is used differently. Sometimes in the Bible, the word righteousness refers to the lifestyle of a person who's in a right relationship with God. I mean, if you are at peace with God and God is pleased with you, you're going to live differently. You love him. You want to live for him. And so sometimes the word righteousness refers to the fact that you're in a right place with God. But sometimes it refers to the lifestyle of that person who's in a right place. Okay. Now, we've already said a right relationship with God is not something we earn by our good works. Okay, we've seen that over and over and again over the last few weeks. We said it again this morning, that a right relationship with God is not something you earn. Okay, it is a free gift of God's grace. Okay, forgiveness and blessing is a free gift of God's grace through Jesus. It's not something you earn. It's something we get by faith in Jesus. Now Paul takes it a step further and he says, not only that, but the new lifestyle. Okay? Learning to react to situations without overreacting. Okay? Learning to face problems without running away from them. Learning to be honest about your weaknesses without beating yourself up. Okay? Learning to have difficult conversations without losing your temper. Okay? Learning to let go of that bitterness. Okay, now we're talking about, these are the things we're talking about now. We're talking about learning to be a better person. We're talking about the lifestyle. We're talking about breaking those bad habits, those old ways of thinking, the language you use sometimes that you shouldn't. You know, we're talking about those lifestyle changes. Paul says that lifestyle is also achieved only by faith in Jesus. Okay. As we said last week, God can do more in you and through you and to you and for you than you can ever do in your own strength. I mean, you can work hard and you can get in shape and you can clean up your life, but God can do way more in you and for you and through you and to you than you can ever do yourself. So what we're seeing this morning is that the righteous, godly lifestyle is achieved by faith in Jesus. Rules are good. Nothing wrong with New Year's resolutions. Got to have rules in school. Okay, got to have rules in our country. Rules are good, but rules by themselves cannot change our hearts. It can't change us on the inside. Okay, at best, rules can restrain behavior. You know, you have rules at school to keep things from going out of control. Okay, at best, rules can kind of teach you right and wrong. But rules can't change who you are. Man, these New Year's resolutions, they sound like the same New Year's resolutions from last year and the year before that. There's nothing wrong with them, but man, resolutions by themselves, they just don't work. You know, rules can't change me. Rules can't change the fact that, doggone it, I don't want to exercise. And I like food that's bad for me. You know, rules can't give me the self-discipline and self-control to follow the rules. Rules were never meant to do that. Rules are good. The Ten Commandments are rules. But they were never meant to change me on the inside. Only God can do that. Only God can give you a growing compassion for other people. Only God can help you gradually learn to control your tongue. Only Jesus can help you grow in patience. And only Jesus can do these things. So the righteous lifestyle is by faith. It's not simply by trying harder. Righteousness is through God's Spirit by faith. Paul says, through the Spirit. That's God's Spirit by faith. We ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. That is, we're looking forward to in the future. I'm growing, becoming more and more that person God wants me to be. And the way it's happening is not trusting in my own ability. By golly, this year I'll do better. No, it's by trusting in Jesus. He gave his life for me. He loves me. He's committed to me. And he's at work in my life. And the more I trust him and I come to him, Lord, I need help. I got to learn to communicate better with my wife. Lord, I need help. Okay, I'm very inconsistent. I'm very up and down. Lord, I need help. I have mood swings. Lord, you come to and you trust in the Lord. And by his Spirit, he changes you in the inside. Righteousness is by faith through God's Spirit. Righteousness is something God does for us. Paul says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. What he's saying is, I don't care if you're a Jewish Christian or you're a Gentile Christian. Whether you're circumcised or not, that doesn't make any difference to me. He says, only what matters is faith working through love. Well, remember we said that the Ten Commandments are all about love. The Ten Commandments teach me how to love the Lord and love my neighbor. Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments by saying it's all about loving the Lord and loving each other. How do I do it? It's by faith. Okay? Righteousness is not something we do for God. We all think, righteousness is something I got to do for God. I got to go to church for God. I got to do these things for God. I got to clean up my act for God. Righteousness is not primarily what you do for God. It's what God has done for you. Jesus came into the world and he kept the Ten Commandments. He did it perfectly. He has done it and he did it for you. You know, he went to the cross in your place for you so that you can be declared righteous. Righteousness isn't something you do for God. It's what he has done for you, and you just accept it. You just receive it. You believe it. You take that gift and you say, thank you, Jesus. That's what it is. Righteousness is a gift that, first of all, God has done for you, and then it's a gift that he does in you. Because as you trust in Jesus, as you come to realize, I am not a slave. I am not hopeless. I am not stuck. God is not at a distance. As you come to realize, God loves me and gave his son for me. God is with me. God has taken me as his child. The more you understand that, the more God is working in you, and he's growing you, and he's working righteousness in you. That's how you can know it's going to be a better year. That's how you can know you're going to be a better person, okay? Because God's doing it. Righteousness isn't something we do for God. Righteousness is something God does first for you, and then he does it in you. As you learn to trust in Jesus as the basis of your relationship with God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it seems almost too good to be true. But that's why it's called the gospel. That's why it's called good news. Because you're good, and what you do is good. And forgive us that so often we substitute the good life for slavery. We take the good life and we turn it into bondage. We take the good life and we make it miserable. Lord, we thank you that you want us to be free. You have sent Jesus to set us free, and you want us to live free and enjoy that freedom as children of God. That's good news. Help us, Lord. Help us this year to remember the good news. Help us to remember. Help us to look to Jesus as the basis, as the foundation, as the source of our relationship with you, and as the one who is willing and able to grow us and teach us, make us better. Lord, we pray for this and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.